Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear saints of God, in the gospel reading for today, Jesus teaches us what being in Christ is all about. He teaches us what it means to belong to Christ, what that means for us, and how any of this can be in the first place. He does all this in the context of a farmer tending to his vineyard. The farmer, or the vine dresser, as it said here, is God the Father. And the vine, which is the main trunk of the plant, is Jesus. And the branches that shoot off of that main vine are people like you and me. Now, in this picture, there are only two kinds of branches. Not four, five, or six. There's only two. There are branches that are producing fruit and branches that are producing no fruit. Those are the only two options. And Jesus tells us exactly what happens to both of these kinds of branches. The branches not producing fruit, Jesus says, that the vine dresser takes away and puts into a pile for them to be withered and then eventually burned. And those branches that do produce fruit, the Father prunes in order to produce more fruit. So the picture that Jesus gives us is relatively simple to figure out. Those branches who bear fruit are people who have genuine, selfless love for their neighbors. They are the branches that the Father tends. He prunes that they may produce more fruit. And those branches that bear no fruit, well, those are the people who have turned in on themselves and have no love for their neighbors. Those are the branches that the Father cuts off to be withered and burned. And that is a picture of God's judgment. This is the teaching of the truth that there is a final judgment for sin. And even though it may seem like there are no consequences in this life, Scripture does teach us that there will be a final judgment on the last day, and only God will judge. So that's the picture that Jesus gives us today. And the understanding of what Jesus is telling us is not particularly difficult to understand. However, the application of this text might be a little more difficult. Because if it's just left at that, the text would probably lead us into some kind of a self-evaluation to do a little fruit checking. We would look at ourselves and we'd evaluate, is there fruit in my life? Am I one that the Father is going to prune for more fruit, or am I one that He cuts off and prepares to burn? And that never ends well. It never ends well for two reasons. You see, you either conclude that you're a fruit-bearing branch, or you're not a fruit-bearing branch. You look at yourself and you say, I bear lots of fruit. I'm loving to others. I help out. I give money to the nonprofits that I care about. And what this conclusion requires you to do is to sort of gloss over or ignore those less fruitful times of life. The times where you get frustrated and lose your temper. The times you despise authority rather than see it as a gift from God for your good. Or those times that you would rather dwell in fantasy on those things that God has not given you, rather than to thank Him for the things that you do have. So you have the tendency to change the standard. You say, well, at least I'm not as bad as those complete pagans. I'm not as bad as them. As if what God expects of us is on some kind of a sliding scale. The other way fruit checking never ends well is that you have realistic expectations of God's demands. And you're rather real about it. In this scenario, there's nothing worthy to be considered as fruit at all. So maybe there's things you've done to serve your neighbor, but you know that God expects perfection in thought, word, and deed. So you volunteered to help out, but really you didn't want to help out. You were just being polite. Or you were willing to help out at first, but then it started taking too much of your time, and then you just begrudged this person who's taking advantage of your time. Or perhaps the reason you offered to help out in the first place is you need something from this person, and being nice will increase your chances. When you start taking this kind of inventory, you quickly realize that there's no fruit here at all. So that would lead someone to conclude that maybe I am to be cut off and prepared for the fire. But the point of this gospel reading is not meant to make you to look at yourself at all. In fact, the opposite. The point of this text is to get you to look at Christ. What Jesus is saying here, and what the text is all about, is that if we abide in Christ, then Christ abides in us. Not because of us, but because of him. There's something interesting going on here in the text that you can't quite see in the English, unless your Bibles maybe at home have a good footnote. In verse 2 it says, "Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." And in the Greek, that word for prune is literally to clean. So it might be read this way. "Every branch that does bear fruit, he cleans, that it may bear more fruit." Now, in a way, to prune a branch is sort of like cleaning it up. And so this isn't the normal word for clean, so I'm not suggesting that it has it all wrong or that it's bad or that we should change it. Except that when we get to verse 3, it says this, "Already you are clean because of the word," and it's the exact same word. So we should use the same word in both of these verses. Either, "Every branch that does bear fruit, he cleans, you are already clean," or, "Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, you are already pruned." You see? Now, this brings a very interesting question. That how is it that you are being pruned if you are already pruned? Or how is it that you are being cleaned if you are already clean? And that, dear saints, is the reality of the Christian life. Because in the Christian life, there is a reality that is done and accomplished and is already ours by the declaration of God himself that cannot be denied. And yet, at the same time, there is a reality seen in each and every one of us that looks nothing like what God has declared. And what I'm talking about is what Paul mentions in Romans chapter 7, that we as Christians at the same time have a new creation and also a sinful flesh. And these two natures continue to live on in our lives and wage war against each other. That the day that we're baptized, we are made new in Christ. And at that moment, God has made a promise that you are holy, that you are perfect, that you are righteous, and that you are forgiven of all of your sins. And if God made that declaration, then that is true, and nothing can change it. It can't be undone. However, there continues to live in us an old Adam, a flesh that continues to sin. A flesh that doesn't love neighbor, lives only for the self. It lives to gratify its own lusts and passions. So it's true that at the moment we've been baptized, we've been made clean by God's promise, and that is sufficient for our salvation. It's sufficient for our standing before God. It's on this promise that he looks upon us in favor with no shortcomings whatsoever. It's all of this on the basis of Christ's work, his death, his resurrection, his perfection imputed or credited to us, that when God looks at us, He sees one that has been perfectly obedient in every single way. And yet, at the same time, he does some pruning. That we also grow as Christians. That we want to be better neighbors. Not to merit anything before God, but out of love for those around us. That there's more to the fifth commandment than just not killing, but loving and serving. That there's more to the second commandment than avoiding the word GD, but to put God's name on our lips in prayer. That the life of a Christian is living in this tension of what God says of you, that you're perfect, and living in this flesh that's anything but. The answer to that is the entire point of what Jesus is saying in the gospel lesson today. Listen again. It says, every branch that does bear fruit, he cleans, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean. Listen to this. Because of the word that I have spoken to you. That is the entire point of all of this. That the reason you're made initially clean, that is to say, the reason you are declared righteous from the get-go, is because of the word of God. It's because of the word of the gospel. It's the good news. And the gospel is that message that Christ has done for lost and condemned sinners, of that work necessary to redeem us from our sins, that by Christ's perfect obedience, his life is the all-sufficient sacrifice for all sins. So that when Jesus is nailed to the cross, he's subjecting himself to the wrath of God for you. For your off-the-handle moments. For your impure thoughts. Whatever sin it might be, God's wrath for your sins is entirely spent upon Jesus instead of you. And if that wasn't enough, what's more is that everything that Jesus earned, perfection, living as a man under the flesh of the law, that Jesus accomplished everything perfectly and then gives you the credit for what he's done. So that when God looks at you, God sees someone who has never sinned. Because when God looks at you, he sees the work of Jesus applied to you. And you can't get any more perfect than that. And that perfection, that cleansing, comes by the word, the gospel. Now, here's the thing that you probably don't realize, that it's the very same word, that very same gospel that prunes you today. You're being pruned by that gospel, even though you're already perfect, because the reason we gather here week after week is because our flesh continues to sin. The Catechism teaches us that this old sinful flesh should be drowned, that is, put to death, by daily contrition. So we come to church, and we hear that word of God, and that word of God draws us to repent of our sins, and we repent of our failings, and that very same gospel, that same good news, is what comforts us, is what cleanses us, it's what compels us to live in this life of paradox in the Christian life. It's never done apart from the word. If we cut ourselves off from this word of God, we cut ourselves off from Christ. And the entire point of what Jesus is saying is that you don't need to be about examining your own fruit. The point of this passage is, as long as you are connected to Christ, then you abide in him. And what does it mean to be connected to Christ? It means that we abide in his word. It means that we gather together to hear it preached. It means we delight to read it at home. It means that we rejoice to study the word together here at church. It means that we receive his gifts of baptism and his gifts of the Lord's Supper.
That in all of these ways that we're abiding in Christ and that Christ abides in you. And in these ways, he's pruning you. He's cleansing you of the very sins that would bother you day in and day out. He's forgiving you. That you would see that every single sin of yours is covered over by his death. And in that, you see eternal life. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.